We're doing the Chafetz Chaim. We're on page Samach. So the Chafetz Chaim had been discussing that sometimes a person feels like they might incur a loss when they don't say Lashon Hara. Sometimes it's his boss who always wants to talk about other people. And if he doesn't partake of the conversation, he feels like his boss won't like him. His boss won't think he's intelligent. He has nothing intelligent to add to the conversation. Oh, so nonetheless, we're prohibited from saying the Lashon Hara. From this halacha we can know, says the Chafetz Chaim on the letter Zayin, that certainly, if it's only a matter of his pride, a person is sitting in the company of others, and he can't figure out how to get away from them. And they're talking about things that are prohibited halachically. And if he sits there and he says nothing in the conversation, they'll think he's crazy. But nonetheless, it's certainly prohibited. Sometimes you're there with family members, with friends, and everyone's talking about someone. And they even ask you, did you notice that he's annoying? Or have you ever had any dealings with him? So he says, yeah, so what if you sit there quiet and they think you're crazy? That doesn't allow you to partake of the Lashon Hara. Sometimes you have no way out. You're sitting in a car. Everyone's going together. You've got a tramp back from a wedding. And they start talking about your mutual acquaintance. They start talking about the Chatan. Everyone's got a ride back from a wedding, and everyone started talking badly about the Chatan. So I'm getting a ride with someone. I don't know them, but they're going the same direction I am. And everyone started talking about how not nice the Chatan was. And how did he land with such a nice kala? Because she doesn't know what she's in for. Now, I knew the Chatan, so I made believe I fell asleep on the ride. Suddenly I dozed off. My eyes were shut. So I had nothing to say. What am I going to say? I'm going to argue with them so they'll prove me wrong, right? They'll start arguing with me and they'll tell me, yeah, if he's so nice, then why did he do this and why did he say that? So I got nothing to say, and they're going to ask me, and I don't want to listen. So you shut your eyes, make believe you're going to sleep. If you think it'll be beneficial, as we go ahead, we'll see different.
It doesn't have to be beneficial. If you don't disagree with them, it's like you're acquiescing. You believe them.
Right, but sometimes if you make a declaration, they'll argue with you. Oh. You don't believe me, really? I'll tell you what happened. Okay. You know, I've found that sometimes. Sometimes that works. Sometimes you walk away from the conversation, and sometimes if you don't have a way of walking away from the conversation, you excuse yourself to the restroom. And then when you come back, you join a different group. The trick is very often to break the flow. Meaning if you're sitting there and someone's talking and everyone's listening, so if you have the excuse, I got to go check what my kids are up to, and you walk away from the conversation, you're right that sometimes you can say something like, I don't know if we should really be discussing this about this person. And maybe people, you know, they won't feel so comfortable with that comment, but maybe they'll change the subject. But sometimes you won't get there. Sometimes they'll give good excuses and they'll keep going. So that's a tough call. But at the end of the day, just because I'll look stupid if I don't partake of the conversation doesn't permit my partaking of a conversation of Lashon Hara. And about this and what's like it, our sages said, Mutav la'adam shikere shote kol yamav. It's better if a person is called a fool his whole life. And Hashem shouldn't consider him evil ever. You know who that said about? That's Akavya ben Mahalalel. The rabbis came to him and said, we argue with you on 3 points in halacha. If you give in on those 3 points, we'll appoint you the chief rabbi of Israel. And Akavya ben Mahalalel said, no way. And he said, I'd rather that my whole life you'll think I'm a fool because I'm not giving in to you on those 3 points. But that's my tradition. So I'm not giving in, but I'd rather that than I give in when I know it's not the truth, just in order to attain a post, and then Hashem will consider me evil, even for a minute. It's not worth it for me.
Rabbi, you said the last class that if your boss is talking to you and you have, and if you don't say something, you're afraid he'll fire you. I mean, about someone, you say, "I'm sorry, I can't get in this conversation. It's not right."
Right. Sometimes it's good to be forceful. Sometimes and often it's good to be gentle. When I'm talking to people who are on some level of observance, so very often I'll just say, you know, I'm not sure why it would be permissible for us to continue this conversation. I won't tell them, you know, it's usur. I won't give them bottom line ruling, this is prohibited. I'll just say, I don't see exactly why it would be permissible to continue. So let's discuss and I'll switch the subject. And that way it's a little gentler, and I found that very often that works, especially with people who we're on the same page, but you know, sometimes we all fall and we start talking improperly. So if we do it in a more abrasive way, so sometimes that's hurtful and counterproductive. And sometimes if you do it more gently, you accomplish much more. You know, I'm not sure if we should really be discussing this. I'm not sure it's relevant to everyone present. Sometimes a person says something because it's relevant to one person, but no one else has to hear it. So that's also a fair thing to say. V'yizarez atzmo bishat ma'aseh b'chol kochotav la'mod al nafsho. And a person, when it comes time to enact what we've learned, a person has to strengthen himself to stand up to the plate and do what's right. V'yenachoni bo batuach kischaro yavuzim l'Hashem yitbarach ad ein ketz. And part of what helps us stand up and do what's right is this confidence. If a person can be confident that Hashem's still going to pay him back, and there's no limit to how much Hashem will pay him back. Ma'amar Chazal, as our sages taught, lefum tzara agra. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, the more difficult something is, the more Hashem will pay you back for it. Vita b'Avot Rabbi Natan, our sages in Tractate Avot Rabbi Natan, they taught, ki mea pamim b'tzar mipam achat shelo b'tzar. When a person does something that's difficult for him, it's worth 100 times more than a mitzvah that we do when it's easy for us. When a mitzvah is easy for us, so you got to do it 100 times to reach the wages of doing a mitzvah once when it was hard. And about times like this, we for sure have to apply what our sages taught. Kol rega v'rega she'adam chosem piv. Very important medrash. We don't know exactly where it's written. The Gra quotes this, that every second that a person holds his mouth shut, so it's very hard. You think it's easy, but it's not. You feel like saying something. For every second you could keep your mouth shut, he will merit a hidden light that no angel or creature can estimate it. Meaning there's this gift waiting for people who can hold their mouths shut. For every second he keeps his mouth shut, he's going to get wages beyond what even angels, beyond what they can fathom. And with regards to how you deal with a group, let's say it's your carpool. Let's say it's the guys you always sit with for lunch. They've all gotten into this bad habit. It's your buddies who you go bowling with. What are you supposed to do to get them to stop? So he says, wait till the sixth chapter, the fourth, fifth, sixth paragraph there, we'll discuss it and look back at our introduction and the prohibitions, because that's all relevant to here. But he says, the practical applications, how do you deal with a bunch of guys who are your buddies, but they're doing this? That we're still going to get to in the sixth chapter.